Rich and I would sit around at breakfast and in lunch and talk about paranoid scenarios about the world, which all you have to do is read the newspaper and you can come up with dozens. And a lot of it is what you do, which is just looking behind the news and trying to make connections that are obvious to anyone who's reading between the lines.
That's right.
And we start talking about all the ways the world could end. And the one thing I can tell about the end of the book begins with what seems like a tawdry sex and murder case and opens up and opens up. And by the end of the book, it's not just about the end of the world, but the end of reality, in a way. The funny thing about I passed the book in to Bob Gleason, and he read and said, okay, start working on the sequel. And I said, well, I just ended reality. How can I work on the sequel? And he said, you'll figure it out. So I had to have a plot for it. And talking to Richard about paranoid scenarios about the world ending got me thinking that that would be an interesting thriller plot. This is my 11th book, and I'd never really written a thriller, although in TV and movies, I'd written nothing but thrillers. So I thought I would try to do in fiction what I did on the screen. And I saw a picture of dead cows in a field, a bunch of cows who died mysteriously.
Here we go.
And it turned out that the cows had first stopped giving milk and began acting strangely, and one by one, they just died. And the
We're not talking cattle mutilations.
No, no aliens, as far as I can tell, or cattle mutilations. They were just, it was hard to tell why they died. And it turned out that they died because of dirty electricity, stray pollution, which I had never heard about. And everyone appropriately is worried about global warming, which won't affect us for decades. Electrical pollution affects everybody now. 3% of the population is going to die or get seriously ill, possibly get schizophrenic symptoms. 3% of the population, a very conservative estimate. Today, it's happening. 50% of the population is sensitive to electrical pollution.
And they probably don't even know the cause.
No, I mean,
you know, they just don't feel right?
You can't smell it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it, you don't know what's happening. And the symptoms are aches, I mean, everything, aches and pains and hallucinations, back pains, exhaustion. I mean, It affects the immune system. Everyone's body is made up of electrical fields, and all around us is an electrical grid, which is getting more and more powerful. I split my time between New York City and out in the country, and in the city, right across the street from my window, are these huge cell phone towers, which are sending out all sorts of electromagnetic radiation. And in the country, there are the huge pylons, which are sending out electrical pollution. And within, it's not just outside the home, within the home, every electronic device we have, obviously cell phones and cordless phones and microwave ovens are big dangers. But everything, every piece of electronic equipment we have, and it's killing us. And it's killing us right now and making us sick. And I wouldn't quite say rises to the level of conspiracy, because it's not as though people are trying to force this genie back into the bottle. There's a general consensus.
But they're not broadcasting it.
They're not broadcasting it because if people began being conscious that this, I mean, we wonder why the rate of cancers have suddenly gone up so much in the past few generations. But the only way to solve it, I mean, you can, there are some electrical filters, but there's no real way to solve this unless we go back to the horse and buggy age. And we can't do that. So it's hidden. No one wants to face up to it because it's scary.
Now, you talk about stray voltage, David.
Yeah.
Tell me what that is.
It's electrical, every electrical system sometimes can leak voltage. Can actually leak it. That's what killed the cows, that there was an electrical wire hidden, buried in the ground, and it was leaking electricity. And the ground, water is a conductor, and the ground, especially if it was damp, suddenly became like a hot plate.
Electrocuted them.
It didn't electrocute them directly. It wasn't that powerful, but it started affecting their electrical system.
It's like a slow simmer.
Slow simmer, exactly. It's like the frog in the lukewarm pot that gets hotter and hotter. But it doesn't even have to be that kind of leakage. It's just all wires produce electrical fields around them. So everything in our houses, every electronic device we have, the wiring in our walls, we're slow simmering ourselves. And I think the same thing to do, and if there's a pro bono part of the book, it is to try to get people to talk about it, because the same thing to do is have a discussion, as we do to some degree with automobiles. In a society that uses automobiles, we know and discuss the fact that a certain number of people are going to die and get maimed in crashes every year.
Do the utility companies know this?
They know it. There have been a number of lawsuits that have been won. The utility companies, as one would expect, would tend to say the same thing with global warming. It's not clear. Yes, there may be some effects, but it hasn't been fully proved. Well, we basically have had a fairly controlled experiment for the past 100 years, especially the past 50 or 60 years. 50% of the country became electrified very rapidly after World War II. And just take a look at the cancer rates, and take a look at but it's hard. You know, people could say, well, the cancer rates are due to the chemical pollution
in
the air.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're surrounded.
Or just about anything.
Yeah. But we've created an environment, a culture, which is deadly. And the old story about the fall of the Roman Empire, some people say, well, it wasn't the Vandals and the Goths. It was the rich Romans had indoor plumbing, and they used lead pipes, and the lead pipes drove them mad.